Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed, Series 2, Episode 1, It's Only Blood. I'm Lisa Williams.
I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Terry Healy.
And we are The Hotbed Collective, the collective hell-bent on improving the world one orgasm at a time. Hi, guys.
Hi,
welcome back. It's been really long. Cherry, you've been dominating
factories.
TV. Factories.
Well, I've mainly been standing in a factory going, I can't believe you do that many. That's so many. And that is basically inside the factory in a nutshell.
The reducer
so
inside
many,
the factory.
So big. And how do we do that? I did see one episode, this might have been an old one, where you were gutting a fish.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that one.
That was in Iceland, and that was for fish fingers.
Ah, oh, that was it.
Which was really amazing. And then a lot of in the fish finger factory
was
in England.
Sexy,
it was very sexy.
Have you heard about the myths about fishermen, what they do on those long, lonely fishing
trips? Oh, God,
Anarchy,
trips? What?
Well, because the fish's mouth, obviously,
comes
in quite useful.
Good.
So
is that
true.
So did you make that up in your head?
No, there are many men who would have a large cod attached to their penis and would be thrusting away.
God. I feel like Anarchy has defamed the entire fishing population of the world.
I want to do a disclaimer that is obviously a myth and not in any way true.
There is no urban myth that is not perpetuated by Anarchy Somerville.
I know that. I think that might have been from many, many years ago.
And we have Baby Joe in the house, who is
currently deciding
on economic policy for some developing countries. So just don't mind him. Occasionally you might hear the odd grunt, or he's thinking.
He's working on it.
He's starting to talk a little
bit. He's got his concentrated face on.
42% of women do not enjoy sex. All right, Joe.
Give him...
Let's just throw him another raisin.
I'm sorry, but I am also with Joe on that. 42%.
And what age group is that again?
It's young. Okay, so it's... sorry, I'm just putting Joe back into his study. So these women are 25 to 34-year-old women.
Oh, but that's really depressing, isn't it?
Very.
But also not surprising. To me, it makes sense, because I definitely am better at it and more confident now...
As you get older.
...than when I was younger.
Mm.
And so I get that, but I am incredibly surprised at that statistic, and it's not okay.
Mm.
Which makes me feel like I wish there was a group of women talking about sex in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
If only that was a thing.
If only
that existed. Because it's not okay, because sex is a really, really important part of life.
Why do we like sex? Yeah, this is what I was actually going to ask you to. As a kind of Series 2 kicker, is like, why is it important? Why is sex... Or masturbation, sex with a partner. Like, why is it so good? Why is it important? Why do we bother?
It makes my vagina feel nice.
Yes.
Makes my vagina feel nice.
That's the B-side of Cherry's first single. Just pure sensuous pleasure, where you can forget about what is going on and just think and just let your body
and
enjoy something.
It's something positive, isn't it? There's a lot of bad news out there and bad feeling and reasons to feel neurotic and anxious.
Yes.
And actually sex is one of the few times, if it's going well, that you can just forget about all of that.
You're very present.
Just be in the moment.
Because you're absolutely right. And we scroll through Instagram, we compare ourselves to others, we're stressed about work or we don't have enough. And you're right, there are some very difficult things to manage. But obviously there's a lot worse things to manage than that, by the way, just in case everyone thinks that I'm...
Oh no, I'm on Instagram.
I can't believe I've got a squirrel through my Instagram. My life. So there's that. But what I love about sex is that you're right, if it's going well and it's right, it's you're very present. And just the sensations of it are so, you know, we've got your skin on skin. Yeah. So wonderful.
Yeah.
To, you know, when you both get naked at the beginning and you have that first, like, body on body and you go a bit like, bodies on body and skin on skin and you can smell them and it's all delicious.
It's kind of primal.
You, it's like edible, you know, when you say, I love you so much, I could bite you. It is, you feel really primal. That's perfect word.
And I saw a happiness coach on a panel and she was saying that anxiety is overwhelm. That's it. Overwhelm is an anxiety state. And whenever we feel overwhelmed, which is me sort of 23 hours a day.
Oh my God, me too.
It's when you have to move from your mind to your body and do something. And she suggested breathing.
Yes.
I suggest masturbating.
Yeah.
It's actually anything, isn't it? I think even walking or running. I mean, there's loads of physical things you can do.
Yeah.
But actually, sex is one of those things that could probably get you there the quickest.
There was a time in my life when I was really trying to lose a bit of weight after university, and I'd done a lot of like not eating very healthily. And I decided that instead of eating my regular kind of, you know, hot chocolate biscuits from the cupboard, or you know, a bit of bread, you know, just, you know, when after you've had dinner and you're watching telly and you graze, I would masturbate because it would still like give me a pleasure of the flesh, like, because that's what I was looking for, like an addict, a pleasure of the flesh, but it wasn't calorific, and it actually probably burnt a few calories. So I think it's also a great weight loss mechanism.
It is, listeners. It's don't sign up to Weight Watchers. Buy a vibrator. Don't spend loads of money on expensive spa treatments.
No.
Have sex.
Or masturbate.
I also think, on a slightly more serious note, I think in terms of being a couple, it's not a silly part of your relationship. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly important. It's a thing that defines, it makes you different from friends, buddies, colleagues.
Yeah.
The intimacy, there is something actually, I think, a bit mystical in sex.
Totally.
It connects you, and it's almost like if you've been scratchy with each other and annoyed about the stair pile and they haven't picked up that bloody thing again that you asked them to.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It almost wipes the slate clean a bit.
Yes.
So it's not a silly thing in a relationship. Is really key.
It's bonding, definitely bonding, totally. Even after you've had your kids or don't want kids, there's something to be said about a good old shake of the sheets.
Shake of the sheets.
Shagging the shag pile. Now, we are going to talk about periods today. Is anyone on their period? Raise your hand.
No.
Okay.
No. I have just had it though. So, you know, I feel like I'm the most qualified person here to talk about.
Okay, good. I'm glad someone is. Now, how do you react to like PMT, period pain? I mean, we are a sex podcast, but we're also to do with reproductive health. And it is kind of related. It's very related.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think it relates to sex in terms of how you have sex when you're on your period. Do you have sex?
Or do you?
Do you have shower sex, or do you just put a towel down?
That's right.
Or, and what happens if someone shames you?
Where should we
what
start?
Where do we
you,
start?
What happens if you have a tampon, which is what my friend did? She had a tampon in and then had sex.
Now, is this another urban myth? Or?
No, this is true.
No,
this is many years ago.
I haven't had time.
But then ended up with a tampon very far up inside. Yeah. And then shall inserted we another tampon, so then had two tampons.
Oh, my God. Should we all tell a tampon or period related story?
I'm in my 40s now, but I would say that I have forgotten throughout my life that I get a period. So I basically, it didn't matter from when I was a teenager and started until relatively recently, I will never have any sanitary towels or tampons on my person. And whenever I pull my pants down, my period will be there and I will go, oh, it's my period. And so this has just meant that my entire life has been made up of situations where I've had periods on my skirt, on hotel sheets, and in swimming costumes, outside, on clothes, everywhere. And never ever, see, every time it takes me by surprise.
Yeah.
And then I'm in that horrible situation where I have to ask somebody, you know, or try and struggle with one of those funny little machines in the toilet where you're trying to shove money in and then get a very small tampon, which is the wrong size because it's usually a regular
lasts
one.
Lasts half a second.
And don't you also find that when you, every time you don't actually have your period, you have tampons everywhere?
Yeah, yes. And I can give them out to other people.
So you literally open your wallet and like 10 explode out, or you give someone a happy birthday card and they open it like a pop-up, out will launch a sanitary towel.
I had this terrible situation where we went to a really romantic hotel in Holcombe, absolutely beautiful, amazing luxury hotel. And would usually, that would be when my period would come, would be on the first day of the stay. And I just didn't count the days or anything. And it went all over the sheets. Mm. And so I had to bundle all of the sheets up early in the morning. And I tried to go downstairs to the laundry bit. And then I was sort of sneaking around the hotel with these horrible bloody sheets. So I don't know what it is, but I've got a friend who is exactly the same. Even though she's in her 40s, forgets that periods are something that women get.
Mm. I can actually relate to that a bit. I really can. I mean, I've never been someone who's ever known what... You know when they ask you what cycle
how many
you're
days
on, or how
is
many
your
days?
Cycle?
I honestly, I don't even know what you're talking about, let alone what day I'm on. That is crazy.
Do you know when you're ovulating though?
Can
you
tell? I sometimes feel it. And actually it was only because my friend Hannah said that she could. And I thought, oh, and I'd never listened to my body or my cycles ever. And actually what they do say is that one of the benefits, and this is one of the reasons I would probably do it, you can get all those amazing apps that track it for you. Because I'm not going to have... I just forget. I'm also always without tampons. But apparently it can really help you to work out your most functional, creative days.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does affect how you feel. And mm-hmm. you can really start to use it as a kind of superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was quite... I wonder if there are days of the month where I'm just a bit crapper. Mm-hmm. And I can really make sure that on those days I eat right, I'm nice to myself, and I allow myself just to do things like banking and admin. And then there are other days when I should be writing.
Ovulation day, which is usually around day 14, so day 10 to day 18, I guess, safely, is when you are most fertile, but also skin is better, boobs are bigger, everything is that little bit glossier.
Is it because you're like, is it your calling card to the world?
Yeah.
Come and have sex
the
with me.
The problem is,
I've got eggs
and I'm fertile.
Look at my boobs.
But also women wear less clothing. So they've done studies of women in nightclubs. Mm. And usually they'll go and interview them and ask them what day they are in their cycle.
And most people
usually
go, I don't
women
know.
Who are in their...
Cherry.
I've
got blood on my pants again. I forgot I've got a period. Oh, shit.
So if you're wearing less... But literally less clothing. So you'll find that you're more horny. And you will... And especially, I did notice that when I was younger, that I would get... I'd be looking at the man in the kebab shop in an inappropriate way, and I think I must be ovulating.
I'm quite horny today, actually, and I'm feeling a bit like I'm having one of those days where I'm just, you know, you get loads done. It's all, I just feel a bit all kind of sparky. I wonder if I'm ovulating. Yeah, don't ask me what number of cycle I'm
you might
in,
be ovulating.
Babe.
So, what about PMT? So, I used to hate PMT, get it horrendously. Apparently, younger women get PMT and period pain a lot more than as you get older. That's like the one blessing of getting older.
Do you relate to that? I definitely do.
Oh, definitely. I had some absolutely horrendous periods and horrendous PMT. I get PMT still now, but I've learned to harness it. So I turn into kind of a moody bitch, but actually it's good because I'm normally quite afraid of confrontation. But during PMT, all those little annoying things that have built up, I will suddenly, bam, get them out. And I think use your inner PMT, like harness
that
bitch.
That's something that annoys me a bit, is that whenever a woman is in a bad mood, so if you've ever been in a relationship and you have been a bit confrontational or you've been a bit grumpy, it will always be labelled as, oh, it must be your time of the month. And like, that gets on my nerves a bit because it has got a bit of that cliche.
Yeah, totally. Although, dude, you've got it wrong, mate. Not on my period. Got PMT.
Yeah.
Wrong day.
Wrong day. You're just a knobhead.
Yeah.
Although, can I just say something sensible? It's not taught in schools. The girls are taken off separately and told about periods. Boys are probably taught a bit of, you know, basic information. And the average man does not know about periods or the menstrual cycle or ovulation or PMT or what period blood is made of, etc.
Why is that? And you know, there we go, we're back to the shame again. The girls get taken off into the witch's cavern and told about this evil curse that happens once a month. And the boys are then left completely without knowledge, scared of this thing that happens. It is a bit scary.
Scared, totally.
And you bleed once a month and sometimes it can be very heavy. And again, if you get it on the sheets, it can look a bit threatening. You know, if you see blood, you associate it with pain and wound. And so unless you see it all the time and you grow up with it, it is scary. And I mean, I've had a couple of experiences where I've had sex with someone and not realised I was on my period. Yeah. And they've like pointed it out. And they're not always really kind about it. There's sense of like, oh God, A, why didn't you tell me? I'm cross with you for not... I'm like, well, I didn't know. And So that's the period shame is very strong, and I think it does start at school when they're separated.
Yeah, and then you watch the film Carrie, and from there the demonisation continues. Have you seen it? John Travolta, young John Travolta. Why didn't you tell me, Mama? Okay, so it's basically a girl, Carrie, when she starts her period, she basically becomes possessed. And
psychotic.
She starts her period in a shower, and it's horrendous. In a public shower with all her school friends that are all bullying her, and they all shout, plug it up, plug it up. I mean, every single period cliche is there. And it's a cult horror film. I mean, it's a very good cult horror film, but it doesn't really do the old period campaign any favours.
Behold the sponsored post.
What's up with Lisa?
Oh, I don't know. She seems cheerier than usual, doesn't she? Maybe she's got a new clipboard or something.
Oh, hi guys.
Hey Lisa, you're in a good mood.
I am. I've been honouring my flow.
Is that like flossing?
Not really, no. It's actually giving my period and my pants the respect they deserve with soft, reusable sanitary towels from Honour Your Flow.
Oh, did you say reusable?
I did. You can wash them in the washing machine and they're good to go again and again and again and again.
That sounds rather uncomfortable.
It's not. It's actually like wearing a fluffy bathrobe down there, and they don't leak, they don't smell. They're made by women in the UK, and they're pretty stylish too. Not that I'll be showing many people.
And are they as expensive as the 10,000 single-use pads or tampons we're each expected to get through in our lifetimes and end up in landfill?
Nope, not at all. I'm terrible at maths, as you know, but I do know that these are going to save me loads of cash. And Hotbed listeners can get 10% off with the code REDTENT. REDTENT. REDTENT.
Ooh, do tell me more.
Well, you can find out more and you can shop the range at honouryourflow.co.uk. They also sell menstrual cups and reusable makeup wipes and breast pads and so on.
Oh, I've never seen you look so happy.
That is the end of the sponsored post.
Sponsored post, sponsored post.
So let's move on and talk about sexy sex with periods. I think it's quite hot, personally, if you're with someone that you trust.
If you can see my, I've got a funny face at the moment. Cause
that is my one area of kind of, not
just feeling a bit ooh about it.
I think in terms of laundry, if we're just being logistical, it's a pain in the ass. Mm. So if I can avoid getting on sheets, I will.
Yeah.
Purely for a selfish reason. In terms of how they react, if they don't react nicely or kindly and like a human adult, then I reckon I've got one chance to rectify that after, because you talk to them and you explain. Mm. But I think if it happens again, that is a deal breaker for me. I just think grow up. It is why we're here.
Yeah.
And periods also, are why we're here. And I've done a lot of work to get rid of the shame.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of catch up a little bit because if someone else is shaming you, it's hard.
I wonder whether we've moved, because it's funny, I've been watching Love Island and obviously everything there is really kind of waxed and the girls are absolutely bikini waxed. There's no hair on show. And I kept thinking while I'm watching it, I'm thinking, are these girls getting their periods? Because there's always that thing that when women are together, they all get their periods at the same time. And I'm thinking, how are they actually dealing with that? Because even having a string coming out the side, these bikinis are literally like that, so high cut.
They're
like
probably using a moon cup.
Well, I don't know. I hope they are. But there was part of me that was feeling like we're almost moving towards this thing now where periods or bleeding might be coming more shameful than it ever was before.
Yeah,
because when you wear very high cut swimwear, it's quite hard even to hide. Like, I mean, I've seen
those wings are going to be on display.
Well,
aren't they?
If you've got your little tail hanging out.
no, but they would be so careful.
And the sheets in the bed, because they're sharing the beds. And I'm thinking, if that was me, I'd be getting up every bloody morning and they'd be going, oh she's had her period on the bed again.
Horrendous. Nothing is more covert than a woman passing another woman a Tampax.
Exactly. Now, this leads us really nicely onto the interview that I've pre-recorded. It was with author Anna Dahlqvist, who's a gorgeous Scandinavian writer. She has written a book called It's Only Blood. It's about period poverty around the world. It is an enormously sobering read. So anyway, here is the interview with Anna.
It's Only Blood, Shattering the Taboo of Menstruation. Anna, why did you write this book?
Well, I had written a book about the consequences of abortion bans in Europe. Mm-hmm. So in Ireland, Poland and Malta. And after that, I was looking for a new topic, mm-hmm. something that's in my area of interest, which is how women's bodies become tools for oppression. Mm. And I read an article about girls in South Africa that weren't able to go to school because they couldn't manage their menstruation in school because mm-hmm. They didn't have access to toilets, water, or menstrual products that would work for them. Mm-hmm. So that is what started it. I get really angry and upset. And it really annoyed me to think about the fact that we are so celebrated for giving life, giving birth, and then the menstrual blood that is a precondition for pregnancies is seen as something that should be hidden and something shameful and something that becomes such a big obstacle mm-hmm. in everyday life. So that's what sort of got me started, and it also made me think about me and my relation to my period.
Yes.
And how I had gone along with the idea that it should be something more or less hidden, even though I'm a feminist, and I sort of thought that I was more liberal than I was when I started thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It takes someone quite bold to just walk up to the loos at work, you know, in their office with their moon cup or their tampon in their hand. It just doesn't happen, does it?
Right. So I started doing that to see what it would feel like.
Right.
To, like, hold your pad or your tampon, your cup, so people could see it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that easy because it's like it's in your body to sort of keep it secret, and you react to it even though you don't want to. But it's a part of us.
Mm. And why the shame? Why the silence around menstruation? As you say, it's almost a public health issue in terms of how many people it affects, and there's issues such as cramps, and, you know, in the developing world where they can't clean their menstrual protection, where they can't access menstrual protection and they can't clean it properly, there's all kinds of infections, endometriosis. I mean, the list goes on, and you talk about it really well in your book. Why can't we talk about it? Why is it a dirty secret that half the population have to keep?
Yeah, that's like a super big question. And I mean, it is definitely a public health issue when it's half of the population that will experience periods. And in the world, it's 2 billion people. So it's a huge issue. It shouldn't be like a separate, like a special issue. Mm. But I think about the shame and the silence. When I asked people during my research, I always, like, if I was interviewing a menstruator or an activist or a researcher or someone with an NGO, I always ask, what do you think? Why do we have this shame? Mm-hmm. And the most common answer would be, well, it's because it's a female experience. It's because it's a thing that happens to women and girls. So, and of course, that's like a big thing in a sexist society. Mm-hmm. Whatever marks you out as like against the norm is also going to be used against you. Mm-hmm. And it has been used as a weakness and something, and it has been seen, like, historically, it's been seen as something that really, like, separates you. And something that is, even though it's been seen as, like, a force, good and evil, it's become more of a evil force, something that's destructive and polluting. And so it has, of course, it has, like, a history behind it. Mm-hmm. And if you put it in a sexist context. Mm. And also that it's connected to sexuality, even though it doesn't, I mean, there's no reason really, it doesn't have to do anything with sex that you're bleeding, but you're bleeding from the vagina, so it's seen as like you're sexually mature, even though people have their periods when they're like 9 years old.
Yeah, it's getting younger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that, you know, sexuality and women, also something that's for a long time been shamed and is shamed. But I also think that one thing is also that it's like a bodily fluid that you cannot control. Mm-hmm. It's something that, like, the blood, you can't stop it. There's no way to hold it back. Mm. And that's something that's like collide with the idea that we should control our bodies. We should be in control, and we should keep them clean and And then all these ideas has been reinforced by religion, by science, and by commercial interests.
Yes, so I was going to talk about that. So obviously it's in the big manufacturing companies, it's in their interest to make us feel sort of dirty and shamed and to spend lots of money on disposable sanitary protection and also things to keep us fresh and fragrant down there. Is that why you think, because you talk about in the book, interestingly, about how menstrual cups were popular in the 2000s briefly and they're now making a bit of a comeback. And I remember I was in university in the 2000s, which is when I came across the moon cup because it was guerrilla advertised across the backs of the toilet doors. There were stickers everywhere. And so I've always been a fan of the moon cup, but I've been amazed to see that it hasn't taken off in a way that I thought. And why is that? Because you've got a bit of a conspiracy theory.
No, but one thing is, of course, that for like the commercial, for the companies, the cups is not a good thing because you buy one and they last for 10 years.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to make that much money.
Mm.
So for money-wise, it's much better with disposable pads and tampons.
Mm.
And I also think that the cups are in a way political too, because when you use a cup, you will see your blood and you will get to know your body.
Yes.
Like you'll actually feel inside.
Yeah, you have to insert it.
And yeah. And that actually, something happens then. It's something that also takes a bit of the shame out of it.
Yeah, it normalizes it.
Yeah, it normalizes it. So that means that the cup is sort of political and it collides with the idea of the like the ads commercials, which is, oh, shameful, keep it clean, keep it secret, keep it, keep safe. So, and I mean, the commercial, the ads and the companies, they really, that's their thing, to make us feel dirty, because that's what they're saying. You need our products to be clean, to be safe, to smell good. We have like the solution.
So your book charts a lot about what happens to girls in the developing world, and I mean so many shocking stories. One that sort of stuck out in my head, because you talk about how girls can't really go to school because they have no waste bin, they have no running water, there's just a hole in the ground. There's nowhere to dispose of their sanitary protection. They share loos with boys and the boys don't understand. And you talk about a girl who just lived with her dad. I can't remember what country it was in. And she lived with her dad and she said she was going to school and she went and just stood in her neighbour's garden all day just to bleed into the ground because she didn't have anything. I mean, how did it make you feel to come across stories like that?
Yeah, that was in Kenya. And I was told about that by an NGO who's working with menstrual issues.
Mm.
She was just, because she didn't really know what was happening to her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the way for her to deal with it.
Mm.
And that's something I wasn't really prepared for, the fact that so many people don't know anything about periods when they have their first period. Mm. And that becomes such a shocking experience, because, it's only blood. But if you don't know what kind of blood it is, it becomes, like, it signals that you're sick or that you might die.
Mm-hmm.
And also that it comes from your vagina. You can't, it makes you, it's difficult to talk about it, to ask what's happening.
Yes.
And many of the girls and women that I interviewed, they told me about that, that their first period was like, I thought I was sick. I thought I was going to die. And that's horrible that we're not even able to talk about it in just like, saying that it exists. We can't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even though there are all these horrible stories and experiences, it's also really striking when I did these interviews that if you start asking someone about her period and you give them a voice, it's not like they're gonna know what they need. They're gonna be able to say what they want, to be able to manage their menstruation. It's just that they have to get that voice.
Yes, and that's what you were helping them do.
Trying.
So what do we do? What do we do from here? And I think this question is, there's two parts of it. First of all, what can Western women do just to manage the situation here? I mean, we do have period poverty. It's still an issue here. And there is lots of charity work around donating pads and tampons to people who can't afford it. At the same time, we're still shamed, we're still silenced. The Moon Cup and these menstrual cups aren't really sort of put out there. They're not as popular as they should be. And we do have access to sterilizing equipment and clean water, so we can clean them, and they can be an investment, and they're good for the environment as well. So what can we do about our situation at home? And secondly, what can we do about the situation in the developing world, which is, you know, comparatively more serious than what we face here?
Well, I think that one thing is that we shouldn't get stuck on the idea of period poverty, that it's something that's happening to just a group of people. That, mm-hmm. But the fact is that we are all affected by these ideas around periods, and we're all denied our rights because of the silence. Mm-hmm. Because that means we're not getting the healthcare we should have. We're not mm-hmm. getting like research that should be done around periods. Mm-hmm. There are so many things we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we don't get the products we should have, because there are like not enough innovations, because yes. nobody's been talking about that.
Yes.
And the information education we should have. So it's something that's like concerns us all. And I think that one thing is just to start talking about it, because it changes a lot just to keep on saying the word. It did for me, just to yeah. keep on saying it out loud.
So what were you saying? I'm on my period. What were you?
Yeah, I was saying I'm on my period, yeah. but I said it in like a weird way.
I'm on my period.
Oh, I noticed that I changed my voice, saying I'm on my period, like that, and also that I would hesitate for yes. like a short moment,
yeah.
like I'm on my period, and it took me a while. I've said that now for like I've said period a thousand of times in front of strangers, so now I can say it in like a normal way. But I think that that's like a small thing that everyone can do, like start yes. talking about it, and start like connecting it to actual politics yeah. and rights. Mm-hmm. It's not a private matter. Mm-hmm. It is a political matter. It doesn't mean that we all have to go around talking about our periods mm-hmm. the whole time. But on like a structural level,
yeah.
we should do it.
Yeah.
But then we also, of course, we need to talk about period poverty and what can be done to help that, because that exists in the UK. And mm-hmm. wherever you go, you're going to find that people don't have money to mm-hmm. to manage their menstruation. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And in Sweden, the tax on menstrual products is 25%.
Which is what we used to have, I think.
Yeah,
and we
but
don't,
now
yeah.
it's like 5%.
Yes, yeah.
It should be zero, which it is in, for example, in Kenya. And that's also one thing that even though, okay, the situation in the developing countries could be really, really difficult, and it is for like millions of people, meaning that they cannot go to school, they cannot go to work, they cannot even like move around freely during mm. their periods, because there is like, they don't have access to what they need. And plus, there are like all taboos and rules around periods.
Yeah, just to interrupt quickly for our mm. listeners, you talk about period huts, which was shocking. Yeah. So in some villages, they have very uninhabitable buildings where if a girl's menstruating, she's sort of banished to that building to stay out of everyone's way until she stops. It's just absolutely prehistoric.
Yeah, but it's like that's like the most extreme form of the menstrual rule.
Yeah.
Like, they all sort of are around separation and silence. And the menstrual huts, which exist in Nepal and in India, in the countryside and mm. in parts of the countries. And yeah, it's like it's a hut or a shed and you have to stay there. But and it's horrible because there are known cases where women have actually died in these because they suffocate to death because there's no way to heat them up. So mm. you have to try and heat them up with like a fire or something.
Yeah.
And then people suffocate. Or they become victims of sexual violence if they're sleeping there by their own.
Yeah, because they're a target.
Yeah, mm. they become a target. So that's horrible. Mm. And they're not, they're banned. You're not, that practice is banned in Nepal, but...
But it still happens.
Keeps on happening, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So on a kind of idealistic level, what would you like to see happen in the next year? Is there any changes you'd like to see happen immediately? The societal change is going to take a while, so we can all start saying I'm on my period and talking about it and breaking the taboo in that way and educating people. But, you know, what would you really like to see happen in real terms?
Well, I want to see it taken to to like the parliament, the government. I want to have ministers talking about it, mm-hmm. and not like only the minister of equality or women's affairs or whatever yes. kind of ministers you
yes.
have.
Yes.
But like the minister of education mm-hmm. and the minister of finance who can talk about the taxes. It has yes. to be like on all different kinds of levels. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be taken to that level. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, get rid of taxes and put money into research absolutely has to be done, but it has to go from this activist NGO level up to actual concrete politics.
Yes, absolutely, I agree. And people can start off in their journey by reading It's Only Blood, Shattering the Taboo of Menstruation, which is brilliant. Thanks, Anna, so much for talking to us, and you can follow her on Instagram. What's your account called? Because it's not the English title,
no,
is it?
No, it's Only Blood, but it's in Swedish, so it's called Bara Lite Blod.
Bara Lite Blod.
Yes.
Sounds so much better. We'll put that in the show notes for anyone interested. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
All right, so it's homework time.
Homework
it's homework time. We love homework,
oh,
and it's homework,
homework
time.
It's the only time in my life I've actually enjoyed that word.
I know.
So what is on the homework list for this week?
Well, we've got two bits to the homework, like a tampon and a sanitary towel, two options. And basically one of it is to actually talk a bit more about our periods. So instead of hiding away in a little tent and having bells on our feet, like yeah. we do in some cultures, talk about it with your friends. Talk about the products yeah. you use. Be a bit more open about it.
Because I think it's infectious when somebody has lost their shame, their period shame. And you do have to do a bit of work on it. It's a bit of a discipline just to get rid of it, because it isn't right. You should be proud of it. It's a wonderful, amazing, life-giving thing. Mm. You should feel joy at it. Actually, if you get rid of it, then I think you do find you start to talk. I've been really trying to... I talk about it a lot in my book, actually, period... shame. I think period should have Glastonbury's PR people. Because if you think about it, Glastonbury is muddy and expensive, and you spend a lot of time where, you know, actually there is quite a lot of, you know, it's quite gnarly, actually, but we all think of it in these kind of starry-eyed terms. Mm. I think periods are the same. Yes, there is some mess, but they're wonderful and life-giving, and they should absolutely be praised.
Repositioned.
But I try, if my kids walk in on me changing my Tampax, I don't hide away. I just let it happen, because I think the earlier that you see it, the less scary it is, because it's just always part of your life. And if they see fear in your eyes, to them, they think it's dangerous.
Shame. And shame.
Shame.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about it more. Shame. Release the shame in yourself and it will come out. And also look up Bloody Good Period and Pink Protest.
Yeah. And if you can, obviously, if you're buying your own sanitary towels or tampons, then you can also give them to a local food bank or a beauty bank. And actually, that's something that I'd never really thought of before. So it's a good idea.
And if you are going to have sex during your period, enjoy it. Think of it as a natural lubricant. But
also, by the way, shower
condom.
Sex.
Shower
use
sex.
A condom. Why use a condom?
Use a condom because if you're not entirely sure about your menstrual cycle, there is a risk of pregnancy. I mean,
wow.
it's a very... Mm. I mean, my biology teacher at school would have said, you are biologically... It's biologically impossible to get pregnant during your period. But I think a lot of advice now is to err on the side of caution if you've got a short menstrual cycle. And also, apparently, you are more prone to infection at that time because your cervix is open.
Mm.
So if in doubt... Also, it's slightly less messy. And if you are with a guy who may be semi-squeamish about blood, then... If there's a condom involved, then I guess it just makes it a bit easier. Mm. And shower sex is
shower
said,
sex
hot.
For me is the answer.
I can't get on with the shower sex at all. But I think that's an age related thing. You get to a certain stage in life where you have the sit down shower, and then shower sex comes back into vogue again.
You've got to get a sit down shower.
Then you can
shower.
Start doing the humping in the chair. But I'm saving that for the retirement home.
I can't wait to do Stannis stairlift.
So. Oh, hot.
Stairless
sex. Because basically there'll be very few men around then, but the only men that will still be surviving will be very strong, virile men, because the women all live much longer.
Yeah.
And so I will have like one very strong, virile man, and we will have shower sex on our sit-down shower.
Can we
won't even have to worry about periods anymore, because there won't be any more periods.
Stairless to heaven.
Yeah.
And I'll have my blue rinse, my shower sex, and I'll be sorted.
Oh my God. And you can just buy a cod.
And I can have a cod as well. I can have fish fingers every day and peas.
On that note, we've been the Hot Bit Collective. follow us on Instagram at The Hotbed Collective. Read our show notes for more information about our sponsor, Honour Your Flow, and all the initiatives that we have talked about, as well as our lovely guest, Anna Dahlqvist. Tune in next week for episode 2, The Most Exhilarating Sex of My Life.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.